Guten Tag, Privet! Hello and welcome back to the Doucepoix podcast! We're here to love on everything that is Eurovision. You love Eurovision, we love Eurovision, Europe loves Eurovision, everyone loves Eurovision! What I was doing this week is I was just sort of having a research online, you know, looking for some like topics of the week. And while I was looking at things, I actually came upon this sort of thread in Reddit where, you know, people can put up their questions and, you know, then the whole internet gets to respond. You know, sometimes it's saucy, you know, can I have feelings for my stepbrother? No, you can't. Well, not like that. I think we all know what feelings are talking about. No, if there's some kind of tree involved, even if it's a step branch that's been whacked on with tape, no, the answer is no. Also, you know, am I the asshole doing this, doing that? Whatever it is, you know, how do I change a light bulb? If you've got a question, put it up. Believe me, the internet's going to have 1,001 suggestions. What I came across was this by Gaming Fan. And he's put up this question, is it acceptable to not do a complete listen through of every single Eurovision entry? With a contest going for 60 plus years and there being over 1,600 songs that have been performed so far, I think it's fair to say that there is a lot of Eurovision content. Some would say not enough, but continue. I am nowhere near as educated as on the content as I would like. I know maybe 5% of the songs if I'm lucky. I haven't even heard all the winning songs, to be honest. I am planning to do a listen through soon, but I'm just so overwhelmed by the sheer volume of songs there are. It almost makes me want to not do it at all. To add to that, I don't like a lot of finger waggle old music. A lot of the songs from before 2000 just don't sound very good to me. Is it fine to only listen to the songs after a certain year and still consider yourself a fan? I don't listen to any of the songs. Anything beyond the year 2000 is old. Oh, Lord, look at me. I'm wearing pantaloons and I'm talking into the talkie stick. Thank you for making us all feel incredibly old. Look, okay, so this is a question. Can you call yourself a Eurovision fan if you haven't listened to every Eurovision song that's ever been listened? Do we want to know what the internet has to say? Oh, my Lord, could the internet have an opinion on this? Oh, my Lord. First of all, we have Square22, who's just said, do you like Eurovision? Question mark. Then you're a fan. There's no requirements or an official fan card. Fankster has just said, I don't really listen to a lot of the older stuff, but if you're going to go back, I recommend the period between 1956 to 1967 actually has some actual gems in there. Theo Introduction 738 has said, a fellow fanatic, I've been memorizing every entry since 1988, and after this year's contest, I decided to learn every entry from 1956 to 1987 as well. I'm doing country by country instead of individual years. I've memorized United Kingdom, Ireland, Malta, Australia, Sweden, Denmark, and Norway, fighting my way through Finland as we speak. Going to be honest, I struggle to remember all the countries that have ever competed at Eurovision, let alone every song. Ay, ay, ay. Kostwober has just said, you're free to do what you like, but don't discount the finger waggle old songs. And of course, let's bear in mind when they say old songs, finger waggle old songs, they're talking about everything pre the year 2000. But he says, don't discount the old songs just because they've been around longer. Explore at your own pace. It's a hobby, not a homework assignment. Ain't that the truth? Theo's come back a bit later on. He obviously has very strong opinions about this. Just to mention, it's about enjoying the shows and enjoying the songs. Never feel pressured to do something you do not want to do. It's the love of Eurovision that makes you a fan, not the knowledge. Oh, and amen, and ain't that the rule for anything? Don't do anything that you feel pressured to do. Be it love, be it sexy time, be it holding up a bank. If you don't want to do it, then you don't have to do it. Always feel free to just walk away. Kia Yee has just said, I'm planning to do a listen through soon. Why do you think you need to do this? It almost makes me not want to do it. Because it sounds terrible. And has ended with, we don't have an entry exam here. Vici has gone on to add, I hate it when people gatekeepy, but seeing posts slash comments like, this is the greatest Eurovision song ever. Although I've only watched the 2022 and the 22 contest, it does make me giggle. Although technically you only need to watch one Eurovision and it is the greatest Eurovision that you've ever seen. So technically, if you've only seen 20 songs, it could be the greatest of 20 songs that you've seen. It's all relative. It's like time, space, and relative dimensions. Focus Stakaluka has gone on, I'm not going to read all of the comment, but what he's mentioned is that what he loves about the past entries is that going back and exploring the history of the songs. And I've got to admit, this is one of the things that I like as well. Like he's mentioned, you discover that Norway, 1980, is a political statement in support of the Sami people and its sovereignty over their ancestral land. But no, you don't need to see or listen to entire songs to regard yourself as a Eurovision fan. And I mean, that's true. But to be honest, that's one of the great things that I do love about Eurovision. Going back, and if you see a song and you think, oh, I like that song, or that's an interesting song, learn a little bit more about that song. And some of the stories that you hear about some of these songs are amazing. Like, we have people who have walked through war zones to get just to compete at Eurovision and coming last. And you can find out some truly amazing things. Like you watch a contest and suddenly you find out this is a real groundbreaking moment. Like this was actually the secret signal for a coup to commence, or this is the first trans person to enter or win the contest. It's fantastic. But I love history and some of the amazing secrets that are out there and what people have gone into, or what they've overcome to compete at Eurovision, or the things that they've gone on to do afterwards. And you thought, I thought I recognized that person. Vici01 has just ended with, if you like it, you're a fan, and don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Icy Condition has said, I'm a music fan, not a Eurovision fan. I enjoy the music and the show. It's completely okay not to like or skip songs. I'm just going to say, if you like the music and you like the Eurovision show, I'm not sure if you realize this, but that actually kind of does technically make you a Eurovision fan. I'm pretty sure that's the definition of a Eurovision fan. Like the music, like the show. He's just sitting at home, mind blown. Yeah, you're a Eurovision fan. Just accept it. Edgar's Raven has tried to assure the Redditant to relax. There's not going to be a quiz, don't worry. Just K has just said, I only go into detail of the contents since 2006. Funnily enough, my year of birth. Anything before that just seems boring and bland. Look, and as much as it's great that I'm sure your mum tells you that you are the most interesting and awesome person in the world, and I haven't met you. You might actually be. To be honest, we're all the most interesting, fabulous people in the world. Bit of a dangerous trap, it sounds like, to start thinking that everything was boring and bland until you arrived. I mean, you're not Christopher Walken, let's be honest. The weird Hull City fan has just said, is it acceptable? Absolutely. If you consider yourself a fan, then bam, you're a fan. Anyone who tries to gatekeep it is a dick. That's it. Cut into the bone. Look, And I'm going to be honest, we all know gatekeepers, they're out there everywhere. And it doesn't matter what you're into or what you're thinking of getting into, I guarantee it doesn't matter if it's Eurovision, soccer, movies, comic books, the Avengers, X-Men, there are always going to be gatekeepers. Oh, well, if you haven't read the March 32 edition in the original Japanese ink pint, then how can you call yourself a fan? Jog on, mate. Jog on. It's a hobby. It's fun. I mean, the great thing about this or any kind of hobby is that you come at it from a different angle. Like, we all are fascinated by and respect and find interesting different aspects. So it could be, you know, you love Eurovision for the songs. Some people love it for the costumes. It's the same as movies. Some people like it for the plot. Some people like it for the history. Some people like it for the special effects. Some people are fascinated by the emotional subtext. Oh my Lord, it's like Disney films. The things that you love and appreciate about them when you're 8 years old is vastly different a lot of the time to what you love and appreciate about them when you're 38. So, you know, if you have a film that you loved as a child, go back and watch it as an adult and see if you have the same reaction to it. That's like, I absolutely loved the film The Dark Crystal as a child. Thought it was the most amazing movie. I watched it so many times, like 100 times. And then going back and watching it as an adult, and you were like, oh, I think I see why I'm so screwed up. I can't believe the parents let me watch it. That movie is so dark. There are other creatures, like there are puppets, like sucking the life out of other puppets, like literally sucking the life out of other puppets and then turning them into like zombie ghost gelfling things. It's horrific. Children shouldn't be watching that, but oh my Lord, I was fascinated by it as a child and I thought it was absolutely brilliant. As an adult, I see why I'm emotionally challenged. Nico Frank goes on to say, I mean, it's a little unrealistic to expect ESC fans to be familiar with every competing entry ever. But the other thing is, the extensive back catalogue means you'll never run out of material to experience for the first time. Oh, yes, looking back, I have to admit, here at the Deuce Power podcast, we actually set out to go back and watch every song at Eurovision that's ever been performed. It actually is a huge undertaking. We were going through about, say, 12 songs a week, and it ended up taking us about, what was it, 3 years? That's a huge chunk of change of your life. People may not have that time. You may not have that commitment. I mean, you know what you want to do in life, and there's all things that we'd like to be when I'm a millionaire and I'm sitting on a beach and I can just sit back and watch every Eurovision song that's ever been performed. But then, oh, what do you know? You got to pay the electric. You got to pay the gas bill. Oh, it's just too much. So don't worry, don't fret. You don't have to watch every song that's at Eurovision. Hey, you can always go back and listen to our back catalogue. You can have a listen. If you think your taste is like ours, we can maybe pick out the highlights that you want to see. I'm actually kind of envious now, looking back at people who haven't seen every contest. Oh, I can't remember. You will not believe the pleasures that Eurovision has yet to show you. Oh, I'm a little bit jealous. Another thing that you can do is don't ever feel like it's a homework. If it's feeling like homework, you're not going to do it. And never feel like homework. Eurovision should always feel like a party. And if you're doing it as some kind of like gatekeepy revisionist history, you're not going to feel it as you should be feeling Eurovision. A great way to do it is pick random years or work your way through it, but throw yourself a Eurovision party weekend. Set out whenever you've got time to do it. You know, you and your friends get together, pick a year. Ooh, put some dates in a bat. Maybe you're going to do 1982. and then pick a Saturday night, get a copy, all sit around, get your drinks, play the shot game like you normally would at any other Eurovision, set out your rules. Oh, whenever anyone does a Schlager song, that's a shot. And anyone's going to talk about peace, there's another shot. FYI, if you're going to play it for the early 2000s, don't make it a shot that every time you see a bit of denim, you're going to do a shot. You might die. It's like, don't worry about it. Honestly, it doesn't matter what you do in life. It can be Eurovision podcasting editing platforms. There's always going to be someone who's going to try and gatekeep the information from you or gatekeep to try and keep you out. Honestly, people who try to gatekeep, it says more about their lack of life than your lack of knowledge about every song that's ever been performed at Eurovision. It's only recently been discovered that I have ADHD, and can we say suddenly whole parts of my life that never made sense before suddenly make sense to me? So anyone who's got ADHD out there will know and appreciate how much we love an obsessive deep dive. And so when I do get that, all I want to do is I get particularly fascinated and focused on one particular thing, and I want to learn everything that I possibly can in this like intense period of research. So when you've got that flow, go with it. Discover the joy of Eurovision. But if you're not feeling it, oh, honestly, I believe you, that 3 minutes will seem like the longest 3 minutes of your life. So you know what? If you were planning to do it, but you don't feel like doing it, you don't have to do it. Take it as the mood strikes you. Now, some of these other comments, some of the other suggestions, some people have suggested, you know what? Just give it like a first like 30 seconds of a song. You'll know if you want to listen to it or not. Look, I can see what you're saying, but on the same hand, I'm also skeptical about that song because let's be honest, oh my Lord, how much does stuff's kick up and change within 5 seconds at Eurovision. A lot of the times how it starts in that first 30 seconds, I assure you not, may necessarily not be how it's going to end in the last 30 seconds. So don't limit yourself. You're going to miss out on so much. But it's like anything, you know, it's like when you discover sci-fi films, not every sci-fi film is a good sci-fi film. Oh my Lord, there are some absolute shockers. Alien, Aliens, prime examples, pure brilliance. Then you hit Alien 3, Alien 4. Worst thing ever. But this is what we're going to do. We're going to go along and we're going to try each week. We're going to explore some different options, find some like different themes, maybe listen to that. Maybe we can point out some of the highlights, some of the great things for you to discover. Yeah, why not? Use the cheat sheet that is the Douzepoint podcast. I mean, how else are you going to find out there's a Eurovision songs all about a Papa Penguin? We did put a post up on our Instagram asking people, what song or what performance do you think sums up Eurovision? Because that's the joy of Eurovision. It's so insane. How do you sum it up? You know what? I kind of feel like Eurovision is a drug and you almost sort of become like a little drug dealer trying to get other people hooked on Eurovision. You're like, come on, I really want to talk about this with someone else, man. Come on. Like we could all be wearing mirror ball shaped tiaras on my head, but you won't listen to Eurovision. We did ask people, what do you think is like the penultimate performance that you would share with people to say, hey, this is Eurovision? Or if you haven't seen this, I think this is something that you definitely need to see because I think this sums up Eurovision. To the listeners of the Douzepoint podcast, what do we think of the songs that you have to at least listen to know Eurovision? First off the track, of course, it has to be Diva, 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 by Dana International. Look it up. That song is iconic. Dana International is absolute living gold treasure. Actually, she's been on stage a few times at the Eurovision Song Contest. Ooh, I'm not going to tell you when and where. You're going to have to find out for yourself. Fall down the rabbit hole. Other suggestions. Of course, you cannot talk Eurovision without talking about what some people were very quick to point out was the quintavisual Eurovision song, Dancing Lasha Tumbai by Verka Sadutska. I want to see I. Again, oh, can we count all the times we've had Verka on the stage at Eurovision? The answer is nowhere near enough. Another suggestion we have was, of course, by Dima Bilan, the year Russia won. Of course, yeah, that one was suggested by me. I'm not gonna try and pretend that was suggested by anybody else. This was 100% me. My other suggestion for you is you have to watch Svetlana Lobada with Anti-Crisis Girl from the Ukraine, because honestly, until you've seen a half-naked, beautiful woman being dragged while playing the drums across a stage by semi-naked Ukrainian Roman centurions, then you haven't seen Eurovision at all. We also had the suggestion of Loreen doing her little crab walk from Euphoria across the stage. Hey, we all know this is by far one of my least favorite winning songs at Eurovision. But you know what? I'm not here to gatekeep. And if that's what you like at Eurovision, that's what you like at Eurovision. Someone else suggested if you want to know Eurovision, then you need to see Cliff Richard, his celebration. Oh my Lord, when you watch that performance and you realize that literally all of the Austin Powers performances are taken from 3 minutes at Eurovision, it will honestly blow your mind. So there you are. We've given you a few suggestions of primo songs to go back and investigate. And yes, some of them are from the deep, dark ages before the year 2000. Oh, my Lord, I'm so old. My pantaloons. Oh, Lord. But you know what? Go back, enjoy it, explore it. And if you don't want to, you don't have to. But my Lord, no, you don't have to. But if you do, oh, you are going to find some absolute gold. What do you think is an absolute winner that you would suggest anyone who's new to Eurovision would have to come and see? Let us know at duspoirpodcast@gmail.com or drop us a DM or drop us a DM on our Instagram page. We did have an inquiry. Yes, Sam, another one of our co-hosts, will be back in the near future. We're just working out some technical difficulties recording over distance. I just hope that Gaming Fan was somehow listening and got the answer. One of the last answers to his question on the internet was had actually just written the response tongue-in-cheek, unacceptable, you will be flogged in the streets if you don't listen to every Eurovision song ever, tongue-in-cheek, to which Gaming Fan has just responded, please no, I have a family cat. So just remember next time you try and gatekeep, so what if they've never listened to every song ever? You know what? They're here, they love it. That means we love you. Eurovision forever!